When you think about the criminal justice system, you probably think of police arrests, courtrooms, prisons, but what about the time after someone gets out of prison, parole? A new four-part podcast from New Hampshire Public Radio explores the experience of life on parole through one man, Josh Lavinitz. The podcast was reported by Emily Corwin, who's now a reporter here at VPR, and Emily joins me now. Hey, Emily.
Hi, Henry.
So why did you want to look into parole?
So parole is this ubiquitous, but also invisible part of the criminal justice system. For people who may not be familiar, it's when you hit your minimum in a sentence, you can apply to get out early, and it's basically based on good behavior. But once you're out, until you hit your maximum sentence, you have to abide by all these conditions, and they can be pretty strict. So about 2.5 years ago, I was working at New Hampshire Public Radio, and I read this statistic, and it said that half of people in New Hampshire on parole end up back in prison within 3 years. Mm. And I was just really struck. I was like, you know, what is so difficult about parole that it makes you so likely to fail? And so I decided I wanted to, you know, look into it more by trying to get to understand somebody's life while they're on parole.
Yeah. And so how did you end up following Josh Lavinitz while he was on parole?
So in order to find parolees, I started going to these parole hearings and just listening through, you know, there's a parole board, you've got a handful of different people applying for parole. And at the end of the hearing, they'll tell you, you know, we're going to grant you parole, happens most of the time, or we're going to deny you parole, happens occasionally. And I was making notes, and then I would just send them letters in prison to the parolees I thought would be a good match for, you know, working with
these individuals that you were seeing at the parole board.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I got a couple letters back, and one of them was from Josh Lavinitz, and it was very earnest, and it was, you know, clear that he was interested in working with me on the story. And that's how it got started.
Yeah. And so you followed him for a while. And what were your main takeaways from following Josh Lavinitz's experience while he was on parole?
My biggest takeaway was just how vulnerable you are when you get out of prison. These are often people whose communities don't have a lot of resources. And when you get out, you often have no resources. Maybe, you know, you have no savings. You need a job. You might need a car to get to that job. You might need to get first to, you know, some DUI training before you can get a license to get a car to get to the job. Mm. You're going to need pocket money. You may not have a computer or a phone, so you may need help communicating with future employers or finding a place to stay. All of that stuff is really hard, you know, for anybody getting out of prison, but especially for the, you know, many people who get out of prison on parole who don't come from a community with a lot of privilege.
Yeah. And so we should say that Josh's life met an unexpected end during the course of your reporting. Can you tell us what happened?
So it was pretty shocking. It's one of the most difficult things I've really ever experienced as a reporter was, you know, first witnessing him having a medical emergency, an unexpected one. He had seizures while we were together. And then, you know, a few months later, he died suddenly. And the explanation is still pretty unclear. You know, he struggled with alcoholism. That probably played a role. The seizures may or may not have played a role. And that made this a really hard story to tell and to figure out how to tell, which is one of the reasons it took me 2 years to finish. But, you know, one of the things that I learned trying to make sense of his death is that there's research out there that shows that people, when they get out of prison in those first few months and also in the first few years, they are way more likely to end up in the ER and also to die than other people their age. And that's not just because of overdoses. That is because of a whole host of different medical reasons. One of the theories that I heard that really stuck with me about why that might be is this idea that, you know, prison trains you to be passive. And the world on the outside, it demands that you advocate for yourself.
Yeah. Well, finally, Emily, you started working on this podcast a few years ago. You were still working at NHPR at the time, and then you came here to VPR. So what are some of the differences of parole in New Hampshire versus here in Vermont that you've learned?
The biggest thing that Vermonters might want to think about when they, if they listen to this podcast, which I hope they will, is that in Vermont, there's a really robust use of furlough, which is quite similar to parole. It's managed by the Department of Corrections rather than by the sort of parole officers and parole board. And it precedes parole. And so people will get out on furlough, live in the community, have a lot of conditions. And that is really analogous to the kind of situation that I'm addressing in this podcast.
That's VPR's Emily Corwin. You can find her new podcast called Supervision at supervisionpodcast.org. Emily, thanks so much.
Thanks, Henry.